We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
One of the NFL's biggest voices, he spoke about the Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson and the situation going on right now with the Houston Texans. Peter King, Football Morning in America on NBCSports.com. He wrote an article, and there's a couple things that stuck out in that article. One, said the Texans have one untouchable player, which is Deshaun Watson. And two, they said the Texans aren't interested in trading Watson and are not listening to offers. He went on to say that at least two teams have given offers to Houston and received zero feedback, like no reaction, no we'll get back to you, no nothing. Peter King is also told that Caserio has been told that Caserio is categorically opposed to trading Watson. And while the article that Peter King wrote didn't tell us a whole lot new about the Deshaun Watson, the Houston Texans scenario, I do think two things stuck out, right? Is if the Texans are seriously taking this approach, it lands squarely in the bad business category. I mean, the approach of not even communicating back with teams that are calling you, contacting you to offer info and offer up players and offer intimate details about their organization to you because they're interested in Deshaun Watson. Even if you have no interest in trading Deshaun Watson, you've got to pick that phone up. You've got to have those discussions. If it's for no other reason other than to collect information and gather information about teams that you could possibly play moving forward. If the Jacksonville Jaguars have even considered making a move for Deshaun Watson, they have the draft capital to do it, right? If they've even considered deciding not to select Trevor Lawrence and instead go after Deshaun Watson, I don't know if they have or not, but if they've even considered it, and they've reached out to the Texans to have discussions about their roster and about their salary cap and about their draft, and you're not even communicating back with them, that's bad business.
Is there even an explainable reason why why that would be the decision, unless it is he's a Texan?
It's smoke
forever
and mirrors.
Forever and ever.
It's smoke and mirrors, because even if he's a Texan forever and ever, you still pick the phone up. You still collect data that's going to help him win a game next year if he is your quarterback, right?
What do you mean by that? Pick up.
You pick the phone up and talk to Jacksonville intimately about their roster and about what they think about. Because if you're Jacksonville and you call the Houston Texans and say, man, we decided we want to entertain making a move for Deshaun Watson, what's obviously going to be the number one overall pick and some other picks. Okay, well, why did you decide to move that from that one? You don't like Trevor Lawrence? Right, and you got them at your mercy. They got to answer your questions, or at least it's in there. If they want Deshaun Watson, it's in their best interest to answer your questions. You can gather information about Trevor Lawrence, about their roster, about their current quarterback room, about what their plans are moving forward in this process, and you may not get anything from it. I'm saying there is no doubt about it that there is information that could be gathered that the Texans don't currently have if they pick the phone up and have discussions with teams about Deshaun Watson. And it's bad business if you don't do it. It's bad business if you just think that Deshaun Watson's bluffing and he's going to get back, you know, in the locker room and back in the boat with you this next season, and you're sitting here just wasting time, not even communicating with teams, and the draft's going to either come and go or it's going to come down to the wire and you're going to decide to make a move with Deshaun Watson, and you're going to have wasted time not communicating, not returning calls of teams that are interested. I mean, any way you look at it, not communicating with teams about that are contacting you about Deshaun Watson is bad business. You don't have to say, well, okay, we will or we will not accept that. You don't have to negotiate. You don't have to be proactive in moving Deshaun Watson. But not answering, as Peter King reported, there's no reaction at all. No, we'll get back to you. No communication at all. Like, that in itself is just bad business. So, number one, I think it's a poor decision because you're going to get caught with your pants down, ultimately. You're going to get caught in a bad spot, and it's going to be because you've chosen not to flip stones and have conversations that you should have. Number two, I think that whether people agree with me or not, I think that it the message that it sends to Deshaun Watson matters, right? Not that Deshaun gives a rip what Peter King is saying. Don't know if he does or if he doesn't. Don't even know if they follow it, right? But if the Texans are, their response to individuals that are asking them about trading Deshaun Watson, if their response is categorically opposed to trading Deshaun Watson, not even returning calls, not even remotely interested, and the whole time the quarterback saying, hey, man, I'm done with y'all, I want out, that's a bad message. It's a bad statement being sent to the quarterback. So even no good comes from that.
Even if Deshaun wants out and doesn't want anything to do with it, you think the Texans still should be monitoring how they handle things because they want to make sure it lands right with him?
Well, no. I'm saying one of two. I don't know which is true and which isn't true. But what I'm saying is right now, either way it goes with Deshaun Watson, to tell everybody that you're categorically opposed to trading Watson, and what you're saying in that moment, we all know, is pissing him off. It doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. I don't know if there's any truth to what Peter King is saying here. Peter King has been told that Caserio is categorically opposed to trading Watson. That doesn't mean that Caserio has said that. But if that message is what the organization is sending to Deshaun Watson, I guarantee it doesn't make them happy. They're asking to be released. They're asking to be removed, to be traded. And you're in response, you're going, nah, we ain't doing it. We're not even answering calls. So take that to the bank. You know, I just think there's two aspects of it being just flat bad business. And number two, how does it impact Deshaun Watson? Those are two things that these types of messages you've got to be concerned about.
Wide 80.
Let's talk about these quarterbacks. First of all, Cam Newton. I want to get to Cam Newton real quick. There's two different topics with Cam Newton, and I want to bring Lusho. I want to bring Lusho into the mix here in a minute. But first of all, some audio hit, I don't know, a couple hours ago, and this kind of stuff with Cam Newton just baffles me. One, it's inaccurate. But two, he doesn't do any good saying these kind of things. This is Cam Newton when he was asked about, playing in the league moving forward.
My pride won't even allow me to do that. Listen, bro, there's not 32 guys better than me. Put it like that. So you're asking
me.
Like,
where you at?
I'm not 32.
It's not. That's where Cam's at right now. I'm not 32.
Nah, hell yeah.
I mean, is he top 32 in your mind?
Are there 32 guys better than Cam? I don't think there are 32. I don't think there are 32 quarterbacks that give you a better chance to win. Now, I think he's in the low part. He's in the 28 to 32. Like right now, do I think Tua gives you a better chance to win than Cam? I'm not so certain for that right now. I don't know if he does.
What about Fitzpatrick?
I think I think I would go with Ryan before I would go with him. But also, man, it's also the coaching and the style you're in. And I don't know if who's around you. And they took a doo-doo on the roster that they put around Cam. So I don't – like, it's hard to get to. He didn't look great last year. I think he's had something like 8 touchdown passes, 12 rushing touchdown passes, and 10 picks.
Yeah.
But I think it had a lot to do with the stuff that was around him. 32 guys better. I can see how Cam could legit look at himself and say, there ain't 32 of these dudes better than me.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
I mean, because when he says it, you got to look at it. You got to take age into consideration, like the Tua situation. Like, I'm taking Tua – 6 days a week and twice on Sunday.
You think Tua tomorrow gives your team a better chance to win the camp?
Yes. Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah, surrounded by the same supporting cast. I do. But my point was like you can't just broad brush paint the quarterback situations in the NFL. Like, you to say there's not 32 better than Cam, that's a broad, like, just random ass statement, right? But like, does Tua bring more to the table as an NFL quarterback right now? Yes. It ain't even close. I mean,
it's close.
Cam is one, not as talented as him. Number two, he's not there. He's a hybrid quarterback. Number three, he's old and his best years are behind him. You're talking about a 25-year-old quarterback a 23-year-old quarterback with Tua.
No, I for the future. Yeah, right now. I'm talking about tomorrow. If you laced it up tomorrow.
Yeah, if we just broad brush it of, is there 32 quarterbacks that give you a better chance to win a game tomorrow, I still think the answer is yes, but it definitely shrinks the group. But if we're looking at this thing legitimately the way that NFL franchises have to look at it.
Well, that's his mistake that he's making.
Right,
the mistake he's making is, like, yes, like, to me, Trey Lance will get drafted next year. And I'm not going to sit here and say that kid from North Dakota State is better and ready to step in than Cam. But we obviously know the age, and he is now the guy moving forward. But just to say, all right, 32 guys lined up. Are they better? I can see how Cam could sit there and say, there ain't 32 dudes that give teams a better chance to win a quarterback.
I don't see how Cam can even shape his mouth to say that at this point after what's happened the last 2 years. Like it's just don't say it. Like, you're just setting yourself up. I mean, not that you care, because clearly, I mean, he's got his pockets are down to his ankles, and he's as good looking a human as there is out there. So
it really is.
There really ain't a real reason for him not to say whatever the hell's on his mind.
Top four all time looking quarterback ever.
Chief, he's one of them dudes when you see him in pads.
Straight up.
You know who else was that way? I'm not good looking, but you know who was. Damn, I can't eat.
A little help here.
I'll be right in with some water.
I got some right here. Eddie George. Yeah, when I saw Eddie George, Terrell Owens was that way too.
He came together. Yeah.
When I saw Eddie George in person, I was like, "Good God!" And then here comes Terrell Owens come running out. I mean, that guy's got hamstrings from his dang lats to his ankles. I mean, unbelievable when you see them cats in Houston.
No, yeah. Eddie George looked great in pads. Yeah, T.O. was another one.
Alonzo Spellman was pretty good in pads.
He was scared.
He looked better in pads than he did in that fur coat.
Patrick Willis, that was a guy with the Niners. He looked good when he came ready to go.
Julius Peppers, scary. Nah.
Ray Lewis was a tough one for me. Like, when you talk linebackers, Ray Lewis.
Scary,
Michael Strahan was an absolute monster. There was some big good-looking
stuff. Don't look at his teeth. There.
Who, yeah. Strahan's? Clearly it didn't matter too much. He's all over the damn TV.
You would think he'd
fix that, though. Why do you think?
Oh, no.
It's part of his image?
It's a part of him.
Trademark,
it's
I guess.
It's a part of him. He'd be ruined.
Well, he clearly don't give a rip. That's for damn sure.
He'd be ruined. All right, Houston, J.J. Watt may have put a timetable on when he is signing with his next team. Mm-hmm. We'll let you hear that coming up.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
All right, Clint, J.J. Watt, he's obviously on the tweets. He said...
he's on that old tweeter machine.
The tweets. He said, I scroll through DoorDash for like an hour before I pick a restaurant. Okay. You're going to have to give me a second to choose a new team and city. Clint, you think it's really going to take that that long for him to pick up and make a decision. You think he's really struggling over this decision on where he's going to go?
No, I don't think he's struggling.
I
just think it's the NFL moves at a snail's pace, especially this time of year. They don't have to make any decisions. They don't have to make any announcements. They don't have to do anything. He could have a gentleman's handshake and they can figure out the contract down the road. If I'm JJ, I would want, like I told you before, I think JJ wants to know where he's at, who he's with, and get it all behind him so he can start working with a goal in mind. But there's no reason for them to move fast at this pace, especially in today's game where if a team signs JJ, I think there's some teams that would then have to make moves with other players, right? The ripple effect would cause problems with other players. And I think that it takes time for those things to work themselves out. So we don't know what the situation is with JJ, but there's a lot of moving parts when a player like that of that caliber signed. So it doesn't surprise me that it's going to take some time. I do think that JJ would rather get it done quickly so he can get planted somewhere.
Yeah, I'm not going to say he's made his decision yet, but I think he's got like two teams that he's looking at. I think he knows of those two. And that's why I call BS on the entire tweet from the jump when he says, I scroll through DoorDash for like an hour before I pick a restaurant. I don't believe him. I believe he already knows what restaurant he's choosing, and he goes right in. I don't think he's sitting there going through and saying, ooh, Jimmy John's, ooh, Twin Peaks. I don't think he's going through. I think he's much like he does with his shopping and much like most of us.
Yeah.
When I go to the mall, I know where I'm going. All right, I'm going to get some shoes. Then I'm going right to that place to get some shoes. Now I'm going to get some pants. I'm going right to that place that I'm getting out. I'm not going in, sucking in. Ooh, I wonder, let me just go look around and shop. Yeah. No, I'm going right in and getting out. And I believe that's how he is on DoorDash. Who goes to DoorDash and tries to figure it out? Sleazy, you order DoorDash damn near every damn day. You have an inkling.
He's not a DoorDash guy.
I've gotten better.
He's not a DoorDash guy.
I did realize how much I was spending on damn lunch every day, so I've slowed down.
By all means, don't buy yourself lunch every day. Whatever you do, man, don't eat.
It's those
man.
Delivery fees, man. They get you.
But you know where you're going.
Most of the time.
Yes. No one gets on. I mean, who gets on there? Ooh, let me look a little bit. No, I got a notion.
The only time I've done that is when, like, I don't have a vehicle. And I'm stuck at home, and then I'm like, okay, well, what do I want to eat? What can I get?
And then you roll through.
I scroll to see what's possible. I've never done it. But I'll be honest with you, like food delivery, the whole food delivery, grocery delivery, all that kind of stuff. Like I guess I'm on that side where it's hard for me to gravitate to that.
Oh,
where
it's
Tyler,
made,
I bet,
it's
I bet.
Made life
have
easy.
You? When was the last time you were in a grocery store?
Actually, it was the first time in a while, but this past weekend we went. But yeah, before that, it had been months.
I mean, obviously because of the COVID, but even like when COVID's not around, like Lauren, my girl.
Oh, we order. Yeah, we come to the front doors. We got 37 bags.
Lauren will plan her week around it. Like, what I said, babe, what we got Thursday? I said, she'd be like, oh, I got to pick up groceries. Like, what? You got to pick like.
Oh,
like
the curbside deal.
Curbside pickup.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah. They're at the. Maybe once a week, they're at the front door.
Oh, Ron. They're delivering to your house.
Oh, yes.
I have an aunt that does that with HEB.
Because if you get over a certain amount, you ain't even got to pay that extra. It is. Since COVID,
are y'all kidding me?
Since COVID has occurred, that is what we – oh, I always get there. Ron, the grocery's at the front door. Open up that door.
That's Courtney or that's somebody
that's
outside
Courtney.
You?
Courtney. She
calls
text.
You Ron?
Yeah, she calls me Ron.
She don't call you Show?
You think she calls me Daddy?
Show. I would imagine Show.
No. She calls me Ron.
That's nice.
It is. Yeah.
Ron, get your ass out there. Ron, front porch and groceries like, out there. That milk's going to get hot.
It is. It's like 27, 30 bags. Oh.
Damn.
Yeah, we get out there. Oh, man. Yeah, especially since COVID. Oh, try it.
Look, he's dead serious.
It is great.
He's excited.
It is. No, it is. Don't. Listen, I kind of like going to the grocery, or I hate going to the grocery store, to be honest with you. I hate going in. When I want to go get something quick, if I'm going to go get like something for the grill, I go quick. But I generally don't like to do it. I hate going in there. You have to stand in long-ass lines. I hate it. And now this thing, they come in. Now, I've seen her get frustrated because you'll have a person shopping for you, and they'll text you in and hit you, oh, they're out of sausage. They got a substitute. They hit you with some substitutes. And
I'm the one that'd get mad at the text and be like, hey, I don't give a damn. Just throw me a substitute in there if you're out. Just don't ask me a question. Just put me a sausage in there, man.
Yeah, they'll do it. Like
I'd end up text arguing with the HEB worker.
Now sometimes there are some mistakes. They've read, like last week, they read our brisket wrong and ended up giving us two of them.
Oh,
that's a pricey on double briskets.
But yeah.
And we just had those.
It's a pricey mistake right there.
Pricey mistake trying to have it to fit in the fridge as well.
I hope you didn't lose those briskets when we lost power.
But they get, no, I don't want to talk about it. But I mean, it's revolutionary. I mean, it is beautiful. Oh, they're all at that.
My groceries delivered. I'll be honest with you. I've never personally.
So you just thought about going to the place. They bring them to the crib.
I haven't even picked them up. That's Lowe's doing. Oh, I wouldn't know how to.
She needs to step it up.
If I need to go to the grocery store, I get my ass in my truck, and I drive to HEB, and I park as close as I can. I do circle for the closest.
You do? Yeah, I don't do that anymore.
Do you ever park in the parking spot for people with children?
No, I don't. I don't park in pregnant women.
What are you,
parking.
An evil person?
I don't do
yes,
it.
Yes, you do. No, you don't just
I
say
don't.
It.
I was
you
just curious.
Do That's
no,
one of the most
I don't do
evil
anything
things,
illegal.
God.
Yeah, you had a smirk on your
you
face.
You did.
Like
Come
that.
On. You do it. I'm not alone,
hey,
right?
I parked there once. I told Megan, hey, when we get out, start rubbing your belly. Act like you're pregnant.
Awful, man.
That's terrible. I'll offer your little young ass to
that's not followed
save.
Up with a bust out laugh. That's not that shouldn't be. Hey, rub your belly.
Yeah, he's a little young ass. To save 10 steps.
Hey, I will say though, I always return the cart, and that is a thing, man. If you don't return the cart to the little stalls when you're done, you are a POS. You are
says
most likely
well,
not
you know
a good
what?
Human.
You know what? You don't get a say so. You're a millennial that orders your groceries and curbside pickups. You don't even go in. If you're not 40 plus, you don't have say so on whether the baskets get put up or not. you don't have say so.
I only parked in that spot one time, show. Don't judge me.
Well, don't come out. You didn't just tell you to told us you parked in that spot, then told your wife to get out and rub her stomach. Why don't you get out and rub your damn stomach?
Yeah, you had a plan.
God, that's just awful. Just terrible, man. But no, I don't believe JJ. JJ, you know what you're getting. You know what you're getting. Clint Sterner and the show here with you, Houston sports leader, Sports Radio 610. This thing with Russell Wilson, I said it a couple weeks ago. I said, man, I think Seattle will crush it. But people are still trying to bring it up. Mike Silver, he has some words and some thoughts on what it would take to get Russell Wilson where you can kind of follow your mind with Deshaun Watson as well.
What's a realistic price if the Seahawks were to trade Russell Wilson? I think you start with something like 3 first-round draft picks. That's kind of the message that other teams believe, you know, would be conveyed. But the Seahawks certainly know what they have, and you kind of hear that 3 number ones being tossed around the league a little. So we'll be keeping an eye on this, obviously, in the coming weeks.
Guys, if Matthew Stafford's worth 2, Deshaun and Russell Wilson are worth more than 3. And I like Matthew Stafford, but when you talk about what Russell Wilson has done, and he's still
even playing, at his age,
yeah, and he's still playing at an extremely high level. Hell yes, absolutely,
Mr. Unlimited.
Yeah, I hear you, corny son buck. But Deshaun, I mean, like it's if Stafford's worth 2, these guys are worth more than 3. I mean, it's like I said, it's got to be 3, like 2 first rounders this year and a first rounder next year, to where you know where 2 of those 3. And I'm talking about, that's just where it starts. You also would have second round draft picks, possible third round draft picks, possible players, young players in the mix. But it's got to be 3 first rounders plus, and I need to know, you know. The bulk of them need to be this year, so I know exactly what I'm getting, and I can help my football team right now. I mean, that's – to think that Stafford went for 2 and these cats are talking 3? Come
when
on,
you,
man.
When, like, when you hear Russ, guys like Russ and where they are, and Deshaun even more because of his age compared to Russ, it should just be trade and picks that are just unfathomable that you would even think it should work. Like, it should just be stuff that don't even make sense. Yeah. Like, you know, who get like, no, but four first-round picks or, like, three first-round picks, three twos, a player, great. Like what the Jets were proposing. Like, Quinnen Williams, a quarterback that you drafted in the top six who's got 2 or 3 years that he's played, and then, like, three first-round picks. Like, those are just crazy, crazy things to think about. Well, and that's why you generally would think it doesn't happen.
But that's how good these guys are. And I know you know that show, but it's just like, I mean, these guys are so hard to come by. It really where it takes me when we start talking about Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson is how incompetent are the organizations that can't get along with that caliber quarterback. Like, you know what you got to be – you know what you should be willing to put up with from these quarterbacks that can play at this level, at the level those two, but especially Russell Wilson, who's won and been in Super Bowls. Like, you know what you – in order to – like, you've got to – how are you having a falling out with these guys? Like, how does that not work? It's if you can't get – as an organization, if you can't get along with these quarterbacks – and, yeah, let's be honest. They both got – some diva tendencies. They're 100 million plus guaranteed quarterbacks in the NFL. If they didn't have some kind of diva in them, they wouldn't be where they're at. But how do you not, these are good dudes who all they want to do is win. How do you not get along with these guys to the point where they want to force their way out of your organization?
You think you got to get out of the NFL business if you can't make Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson work?
What a mess.
I think you got to move on and get out of the NFL business. All right, here is the question. Do you believe that Nick Caserio and Jack Easterby are not even listening to anybody when it comes to what it would take to get Deshaun Watson? Do you believe them? Clint Dutton, he'll explain coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
Peter King, one of the most known and tied and connected sports writers and people in the NFL, he said what he's hearing, Clint, is that over the weekend, the Texans, according to him and his sources, they're not only not interested in trading Deshaun Watson, but they're not even interested in listening to offers at all about him. At least two teams, according to Peter King, have given offers to the Houston Texans and gotten zero feedback. No reaction, nothing. Nothing at all, not even a we'll get back to you. Yes, the dial tone. Nick Caserio and Jack Easterby aren't even listening. Check that. Jack Easterby and Nick Caserio aren't even listening. Do you believe that? Do you believe now that we are coming? Hell, you get married on Saturday.
Come on.
Which means you knew that was late February. The draft is in 65, 66 days. That has to be the deadline so you know exactly what the picks are you're going to get. Do you honestly believe that they are just closing their ears and burying their head in the sand and not responding to or not listening to anything?
No chance in hell. No chance. Like you said, 65 days away. We're 2 months away from the draft, and you got a quarterback that has told you that he wants a trade. His representation is leaked it out. And he is not communicating at all with you. And this isn't just a normal dispute between a player and an organization. This is a situation in Houston where the team president has bounced, the greatest player in Texans history has bounced, and your quarterback is now at odds with the organization because of one individual. All of that has happened because of one individual's climb to the top. And that individual's power is at an all-time high right now. That's Jack Easterby, obviously. So you want me to believe that we're 2 months out from really the day that a decision on Deshaun Watson needs to be made on moving him? Your opportunity to move a disgruntled, the last disgruntled leader, major voice in your organization, that's left, the last chance you have to possibly move him is in 2 months, and you're not returning calls. I think it's all smoke and mirrors. I don't think that that's the case. I don't think it's accurate. I would be very surprised if Nick Caserio, regardless of what kind of GM you think or I think or Lock Dog or Lopez or Sean, regardless what anybody thinks of Nick Caserio, because the jury's still out for me. I've seen one decision. I don't like that decision. The jury's still out for me on Nick Caserio. But regardless of what your feelings are, I do think that the day-to-day player, the day-to-day communications that go on in the league around building a roster and leading an organization, I'm pretty confident that Nick Caserio is at least competent in those areas. I believe it would be incompetent right now if Nick Caserio were not fielding calls and having communication about Deshaun Watson.
In some form or fashion, hearing what people are saying.
Yes.
Yeah. See, I'm going to be dangerous here and think logically, which is maybe something maybe you shouldn't do with you look at the past history with the Texans. My thought would be, all right, so if you weren't fielding calls right now, what is it that you're holding on to? What is it that you think, all right.
Yeah, what's your end game?
Like this is yeah. going to be the thing that gets Deshaun to come back. And the thought would be, all right, we got one more bullet in the chamber, one more Hail Mary that we can throw up there. And as far as I would think is, all right, that Deshaun comes back and talks, and we get him, and McClain has said it. John McClain has said it. The Hail Mary, just sit down and talk with Nick Caserio and David Culley. Just sit down and talk with them. They had nothing to do with what happened prior to Nick Caserio being hired. That was Jack. That was
right.
That was Cal McNair. Talk to them. That's the Hail Mary. Just get them in the room and see if David Culley and Nick Caserio convince it. But if that's your Hail Mary, is that even a Hail Mary to be realistically no. thinking can work
no.
with Deshaun?
No, not at all. I mean, I think it would be a crapshoot if Eric Bieniemy was in the room with Nick Caserio. Right? I mean, I think you could put at this point in time, I think you could put a coach, a head coach in the room and you'd have that was one of the top candidates and is a legit head coach candidate in this league and in the future. I think you could put one of those individuals, the most impressive individual possible in that room with Nick Caserio. And I still think you've got an extremely steep hill to climb because Jack Easterby and Cal McNair at the top. And that's where the trust problems lie. And so now you throw Nick in the room with David Culley and Deshaun Watson, and you're not moving the needle. I mean, I just don't see how that moves the needle, show. If I'm Deshaun Watson and his representation and Nick Caserio wants to sit down with me and discuss the future and Deshaun Watson and his future with the Houston Texans, I would have a very difficult time getting the thought out of my mind that the other guy in the room is who you settled on hiring and how that guy's going to impact the future of Deshaun Watson. It would be very difficult to get over that hurdle. It would be very difficult to get over the fact that Jack Easterby and Cal McNair are still in the front office and they're still trust issues.
Because you know that's there. And we know that they are a big decision maker.
And that is
they're not in the meeting because they don't want to be in the meeting.
And that is ultimately why Deshaun Watson's not communicating with his the organization. It's because he knows who's at the top and he doesn't trust them, and there's no point.
And two of the very things that I think Deshaun has probably issues with, not really the people, but the scenarios and the situations, would be the guys you're attempting to be your Hail Marys. And that is the GM scenario, how he was hired in Nick Caserio, and then the head coaching situation and how that was handled with David Culley. So you're bringing him with, like, it's like...
Yeah, I mean,
it'd be one thing if Eric Bieniemy was your Hail Mary and he was your coach. And you just get him.
Well, think if Eric Bieniemy's sitting there and Deshaun Watson and his representation sitting across the table, and you look across, you go, okay, Nick, well, at least since you've been here, you hired Eric Bieniemy. All right, Eric, what are we going to do with Deshaun's future moving forward? How are we going to do that? Boom, he lays it out, the offense and everything, right?
Yeah.
With it being David Culley, You look at Nick Caserio and you go, okay, what are you going to do for the Deshaun's future? And the first thing you did was you hired David Cohen. I go, okay, well, let's say that I want to entertain this. If I'm Deshaun, hey David, how are you going to help Deshaun Watson in his future? How are you going to help his team win a championship? Well, it's okay if we go 3-and-out. It's okay if we go 3-and-out. Not a big deal. I mean that's Deshaun is wasting time if he sits down with him.
And it's not even some of his bad moments like that. It's, you know, what are we going to do? What kind of offense is this when we got all these voices in these different styles? You, Tim Kelly, Pep Hamilton.
That's even better, right? I mean, if Deshaun Watson's representation goes, hey, David, tell me why'd you hire Tim Kelly? Well, you know, why'd you hire Pep Hamilton? Why'd you hire the – I mean, obviously it's going to be a Nick Caserio question or Jack Easterby question. Because Coley didn't hire those guys. And so it's one of those things where I don't know that the Texans want Nick Caserio and David Coley in the same room with Deshaun. Like, look, not only if I'm Deshaun, the way I look at him, like there's nothing.
I don't know if that would be helpful.
It's not going to move the needle at all, right? No. Well, then from the Texans' perspective, do you really want David Coley and Nick Caserio in a room with Deshaun Watson and think that conversation is going to move the needle? I don't know that either side wants it.
Yeah. Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. This is it. What are they holding on to? And now they're not even taking calls, apparently, yet. They've not reached the stage where they're even going to listen to people. Ross, I'll let you jump in here. Go ahead, Ross. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, man, I want to tell y'all, y'all let me talk and y'all let Larry talk forever. But y'all need to quit spreading that bad information, man.
What bad information?
Cliff, man, telling people, man, they got to do this right away. If they don't do it, they gonna... Man, look, man. The Texans got the ace, man. They hold the ace, okay? This man under contract. Number one, he turned his back on the whole city of Houston and his teammates.
Lies.
Look, man, everybody need to stay in their lane. Sean need to quit worrying about the wrong thing. His job is to play ball. You ain't going nowhere, dude. Because if I'm Cal McNair, I'm going to my grave with you locked in, baby. And he 25 years old. He want to play. He not going to sit out in the whole year, man. I bet that on my mother's grave. After one or two games, he going to tell that man, look here, man. Tell him I'm ready to play. Dude only 25 years old. He, number one, you see what he did to Muhammad Ali when he took off a year. He might can come back and still be Deshaun, but he ain't going to be the Deshaun that he was if he don't miss a year. So everybody need to settle down. It's still early. Don't panic. Deshaun ain't going nowhere. I wouldn't let him go nowhere. I hold his ass to the fire.
Hey, Ross. You know, you're not real keen on this 2021 professional athlete thing, is you? You think that's gonna work? Hey, man, shoot, I'll go to my grave with you on this. You think that's gonna work? He's done after. Nah, I think at 26, he's not gonna be able to play anymore. Is that what you said? He's gonna lose a step at 26. He sits 20, a year out. Come on, Ross.
That man ain't gonna sit no whole year out, man. He can see people back home. Everybody throwing touchdowns. Did you hear what I said?
No, I heard.
He's 25 years old.
You remember Le'Veon Bell? You remember Le'Veon Bell? You remember him set out a year and then he went and got his money?
But that dude more smart than Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell wasn't that smart. But let me show you something. And then this man is a much better quality athlete than him. Man, look how many games the Texans should have won. They lost. Man, we right there. They, and another thing I'm going to get on Cliff by. The man say,
his name's Clint, Ross.
Clint, Lent, whatever his name. Deshaun said, John McClain said, bring back Romeo Crennel. He like, oh no, Romeo Crennel can't coach. Oh no, no, no. Hey man, look, man, you don't understand the ties this man had to Houston. Just like he was talking about Bob Phillips. Hey man, look, we all Houston Oilers fans, most of us. So we know what heartbreak is. Hey, man, you need to sit down and let somebody school you Clint.
Well, tell me what do you mean? You just told me what I said, Ross.
You know what you're talking about.
You just told me what I said, Ross. Why would you bring Romeo Crennel back, Ross? Why would you bring Romeo Crennel back?
He's like 50 games under 500.
Did you cut him off?
He's just good to have on the team, man.
Why? I hear your point, and I'm opening to listening, but tell me why.
Then another thing, you don't even give the guys a chance. Like, you always talking about David this. But I notice when it's somebody you like, you don't say that.
That's my opinion. That's exactly how it works.
Clint, I'm watching you, Clint.
Keep your eye on me, Ross.
And you need to quit getting that fake information up, because you was a quarterback in the NFL. And you know that boy 25 years old, and he going to bring us a championship. Deshaun, listen to me, son. Don't worry about this other stuff. Wind is going to smooth all that out. Y'all know wind is smooth a lot of stuff out. Right now, he just mad at his girlfriend.
All right, I can't do it.
I'm going to send Ross another 12-pack.
Man, Ross ain't nobody winning. What are you talking about, winning? Four games last year, and now he's coming with Dave Culley.
I'm a cow.
You think Ross really wants Romeo Crennel back?
He's like 50 games under 500. His hands were tied. No, and some people on the text line, Ron, quit. You can't use Le'Veon Bell. He didn't have a No, Le'Veon Bell had $14 million on the table to sign for a franchise tag to sign. He said, "Nope, I'm going to sit out and not make that $14 million until I get what I want." And he was crazy as hell enough to do it. You know what Pittsburgh could have done again? They could have franchise tagged his ass again and done it again. He took the chances. But what did he do? He got paid. He got out. Just like Jalen Ramsey did. Just like Jamal Adams did. Just like Deshaun Watson is going to. Sorry, baby. I know it's not the 1980s no more.
I like Ross, man.
I do, too. I like his
fussiness. I love the call.
I do.
That would have been fun. I wish you just had a back and forth with me.
No, I didn't want to hear it. He said, "You don't know what the hell you talk about, Cliff."
Well, that's fine. I mean, you can feel.
Damn,
that's
Cliff.
That's not the first time I've been called Cliff either.
It ain't.
I mean, you can disagree. That's fine. I mean, I'm good with that. We can all disagree, but I'd like to have a back and forth though with old Ross. That'd have been good. Yeah. I mean, I'm open. I'm all ears. If you got a good reason why an organization should hire a new GM and blow up the front office and run everybody out of town, but keep Romeo Crennel and keep Bill O'Brien's former grad assistant as the OC, and that's a good idea. I mean, I'm open ear. I listen. I just can't look at it as it being a positive. Like when you're, in fact, those are the specific individuals that when you have a culture shift, and when you have a new coach come in or a new GM come in, a new regime come in, and you switch gears, those are the specific individuals you get out of the building. Like, I don't want Bill O'Brien's. Like, if I'm Nick Caserio, I don't want Bill O'Brien's leftovers in the building. Not because they're not good coaches or not because they don't have some value somewhere, but because I'm completely starting over and I don't need coaches and advisors that have been in this league for years telling my locker room or telling my front office that the old way of doing things is better than the new way that I'm trying to instill in this organization. The exact people that Ross brought up are the exact people that you get rid of it from the jump. Not J.J. Watt, not Deshaun Watson. You get rid of the ones that are in the building that were part of the plan, the culture, the chemistry, the lack thereof, the day-to-day operations, the coaching that resulted in a 4-12 season. You get rid of those people, you start over. You don't get rid of all your good players. If you got a player that's a cancer, yeah, you get rid of his ass too. But you don't put a staff together and have a bunch of – you got four or five people running around over there that were Bill O'Brien guys.
Yeah, including the strength and conditioning coach is still there.
I mean, what are we doing
today? Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
Romeo Crennel and Tim Kelly are still there, but the equipment guy's not? The equipment guy that the locker room loved, he's not? I mean, that's my biggest concern with what's going on in Houston is like a normal clean house has come in, get rid of all cancer, and get rid of the former staff, the former regime. That's not what's going on. No. It's a hodgepodge, and in the process, you're running off all your good players.
And Clint, you've tried to explain it as somebody who's played in the league, and I'm telling you, I gave the Le'Veon Bell example, and there are people like Ross and people texting in about what I'm telling you is if you want to continue to get behind this deal of these players have fear for sitting out a season, fear that they're not going to get paid, listen, they have ways to get money in other ways, and they don't have fear of sitting out and missing money. That's not a fear for players like Deshaun Watson and Le'Veon.
Well, but here's the deal. So if it were that, this is my thing. If it were a fear, he wouldn't be doing what he's doing. Oh, cool. Like, I don't think this isn't a deal. This isn't
get scared off and come back. Okay.
This isn't just minor damage to where Deshaun just decides one day, all right, I'm back in, or a contract gets signed and they agree to a number and Deshaun's agent calls him and says, hey man, it's time to go back to work. That's not what this situation is. I mean, this isn't going to just – Deshaun's not going to wake up one day and go, yep, now's the time. Got to get back in there, boys. I mean, this is a major statement this dude's making. To think that the new CBA and the fact that he doesn't get an accrued year if he sits out, he knew that before he decided he was going to hold out or decided he was going to demand a trade.
He's not going to make money anyway else.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man. He knew all that before he decided to go to position this way.
Yeah. All right, we were talking about Deshaun. Another deadline has been laid. If you missed what Carlos Correa had to say earlier, you better stay seated because Los Correa put a deadline out there for the Astros. That's next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.